Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rhymes of Baghdad. I'm your host, Thowden. Hello. On this snowy day after a very warm day in the middle of April, in the beginning of April, maybe I should say, joining me is Mary.
It's like 79 degrees outside. I don't know what you're talking about, but sure.
What? It was like 79 degrees outside yesterday, but then it snowed today. Does that make sense?
It did. No, it's all sunny. It's all sunny right outside. You can ask Siri,
really,
and she would say,
Already, yes. Welcome to the Weather Podcast. I'm your weatherman, Thowden. There's a high pressure moving in from the west and from the east at the same time. Get rid of some high pressure, folks. High pressure situations. It's going to be great. You're going to have fun. Also, Jake is here. Hello.
My mic doesn't sound like ass anymore.
Yeah. You're not using your microphone.
I still can't believe nobody fucking told me anything. Nobody said a damn thing. I was even messing with my mixer, and you guys played along. You jerks.
Tisk and Optics.
I'm not actually mad.
Okay. Optics, the guilty party, is also here. Hello.
Hi. I'm not a guilty party. I'm just a party. I am very distracted with Clash Royale at the minute, though.
You're a monster. Why is everybody playing that game now? Listen, it was a funny joke when me and Bob Kent started playing it and started a guild. Now it's no longer a funny joke, and people need to stop. It's a nightmare. Don't play that game. It's time to stop.
What happens when you make a clan? People want to join the clan. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Go on. Uh-huh. What do you think our attire for this clan should be, eh? Maybe some white cloaks?
Oh, God. Just play Idolmaster. Jesus.
Is there a clan tagline? Yeah, is there clans in Idolmaster?
I don't know. Now that I think about it, they definitely... I don't...
How is the... have they implemented that multiplayer thing yet?
No, it's still just betas. Like, they're opening it up to, lower level players soon, but I don't think they're implementing it anytime.
Did we finish intros?
I think we did. I'm here, you're here.
They didn't mention me, but whatever. Well, or maybe,
no, I started with you.
Yeah,
you
had to start.
Where are we?
Well, I don't remember. You said it was snowing and so this is just the lying podcast.
Welcome to the lie cast. I'm your host. No, we're not dealing with lie, the chemical. That's my entire title.
It's WrestleMania Sunday.
It's WrestleMania Sunday.
That's why this podcast is shitty.
Wrestling is slowly infecting this podcast, and I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
You're going to watch it, though.
I know. Of course. I mean, who wouldn't?
It's already filthy anime-ridden, so why not just add wrestling?
Yeah. How much are you playing that there, Idolmaster, still? Are you playing it at all, Mary?
A little bit, yeah. Like, I'm keeping up with it. And I got mad, though, because they added, the badass metal mushroom lady. And she has, sharp-ass, witch black claws, nails. And she looks fucking cool, and I didn't get her. And they just recently, doubled the SSR rate. And I tried again to get her. And did I get her? No. I fucking didn't. So I'm still playing it, but I'm not super hardcore trying to get every single card, crazy on it like I was.
Huh, okay.
It's still fun.
What's the latest event? Or event?
Latest event is basically a medley, but it's all focused on the dance stat again. So I have a ton of team members that are high spec on dance, so it's easy, but I need a new SSR to make me play again, and the game isn't giving me one, so
What's your SSR count? Just one?
Yeah, just that one.
Still.
Yeah, just no, still. But whatever. It's fine. I don't want to pay more money.
So that means you're free to get in on this horse racing simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out soon. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm all ready for that Uma Musume. Pretty dirty.
Already. Woo!
Oh, I bet it'll be so good. I hope you can, like, raise up your horse and, like, train her and make raise up stats in different ways and then race your horse lady with other horse people. And, yeah, it'll be great.
That can get really dark really quick. Like, who gets turned to glue?
Yep. Yeah, I know. What happens if they get injured on a track? Does somebody come out and just put them down?
Just shoot them, yeah.
Jeez.
If that reality is faced in that, whatever that game show is, anime?
Thing?
Game thing? Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. That might be
too dark for me. I might have
might
to go.
Just be, I don't know.
That would be rough.
Well, they're turned into cat food for your cute Neko. Yeah.
And we're all licking it together, all the games. Here we go.
I'm pretty sure my cats aren't eating ground up horses.
Japan. They'll do whatever the fuck they want.
Fair enough. Who am I to stop them?
Have you been playing any other games, Mary?
Yeah, I've been playing a ton of games. Like, I can't super focus on anything except for Stardew Valley, which when I play that, it's for hours at a time. But I'm still chipping away at Persona 4 Golden. Still, like, I'm watching Gary play weird-ass Mario hacks with Star Wars Cantina music on the Super Nintendo. That's fun. I'm playing a bunch of Trackmania 2 Stadium with the NegiCon controller. It's like an old Namco PlayStation controller.
Like, Japanese only? That's a real...
I think so. Maybe it came out over here. I don't remember. I'd have to ask Gary.
So is it like a PlayStation controller, like, shape, but it's for a Super Nintendo?
No. This, I've been using hooked up on the computer. Yeah, it's a PlayStation controller with, like, a twist thingy in the center.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it's really weird, but it controls racing games really cool.
What was the name of it again? Sorry?
NegiCon. Like, it's spelled NegCon, and it's, like, based off of the Japanese word to twist, Nejiru, because that's how you control it, is just by twisting it down the center.
Whoa.
It's really weird.
Whoa,
yeah.
This is weird. That's not what I expected.
That's
but it
cool.
Actually, yeah, it feels really cool, and it's good for, like, playing Tempest and shit, so I was like, I'm gonna try and use it on this thing.
That'd be
and
great for Tempest.
Yeah, but it's not super great for Trackmania, because, like, it has, it has, like, analog buttons on it, and Trackmania doesn't really have, like, analog acceleration. Like, there's a setting for it, but I think it's just so, like, when you have, like, a race wheel and pedal set up, like, it'll detect it and actually work. Like, which kind of makes sense because Trackmania Turbo, like, at least on all the maps that I play, you want to be hitting gas, like, full throttle all the way through the whole course anyway, so it's fine, but whatever. It's fun. It was only $5. It's been playing in short bursts. It's fun.
Have you been sticking on the unofficial classic server? Is that thing still up?
Yeah, still up. Having fun with that. I dabble around. Like, I only play for about, like, 30 minutes at a time, basically. So, like, it's usually just the Giant Bomb unofficial server, but I'll mess around in single player and other servers too, depending on what I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, the main game I'm playing though is Stardew Valley, because yeah, like, that game is addictive. Just like Harvest Moon Back to Nature, like the PlayStation game, and Friends of Mineral Town, the Game Boy Advance games. These are games that you can just fucking go and go and go for hours, and especially when you've modded it all up stupid like I have. It's super fun. Like, I added kawaii hats. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, I have a stupid strawberry hat on right now, and it looks great, I tell you. Better pigs.
Better pigs?
Yeah, what? They're way better. They're way better. Like,
okay.
If you actually look at the old pig sprite, it looks like it needs to be put down. Like,
oh, gee.
It looks sad. Uh-huh. It looks fucking sad. I replaced like all of the chicken sprites with like cuter designs, like their little brown tan chickens, and I have like cuter bunnies where they're actually breeds of bunnies, like a Dutch chocolate rabbit. Super fucking cute. And I added like horns to my goats, crazy shaggy Scottish cows, like, and I made my cat smoking, like it sits it just sits in my farm smoking, wearing a leather jacket with sunglasses. It's fucking great.
That's a awesome. Good mod.
Anything
That's...
else?
No, but like it didn't do
it, does it need it, to?
Yeah, like cats don't do shit anyway. Before, all it did was just lay down, so it's fine. Like, and I love just the whole like website page for that mod, Smoking Badass Kitty Cat Overhaul version 1.1. It's so stupid. Like in the patch notes, they mentioned that they stopped the cat from being janky AF and shit like that. I don't know. It's dumb.
That's good.
But yeah, like I'm just playing this nonstop and I'm trying to have kids in game. Like I got married and I'm upgrading everything at a pretty fast clip. I'm having fun. I got the greenhouse. I don't have the community center like totally done yet, but I'm just having fun. I have like about 75 hours on it now and I'm thinking I'm going to spend like 30 more probably. So yeah, it's definitely worth $15.
Are you gonna like do multiple games? Like, are you gonna play again?
I mean, if anything, I might just jack around with crazier mods, like just really cheat or something weird like that. I doubt I'll start a new game. Like, I can only foresee starting a new game like if a multiplayer mod actually comes out, like, or the multiplayer portion of the game.
Interesting. Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a ton of fun. Any of you guys playing Stardew Valley?
I stopped to play XCOM. But I need to get back to it. I'm almost through year one. Yeah. So I gotta get back to it. Yep. Gotta figure out how to open up the sewers. This was the thing I was trying to do. How do you open up the sewers? Where do you get the key for the sewers?
You mind if I spoiler the sewers a tiny, tiny, tiny bit?
Go ahead.
I'll just say it's kind of anticlimactic. Like, I wish there was more to the sewers.
Oh, okay. It's not crazy? So, there's not a monster down there? It's not like...
Nothing super crazy. Oh, okay. Like, don't freak out that much about it.
So, do you think it could be crazy because it's early access and he just hasn't done the sewers properly yet? Or do you think it's just not done well?
Well, he talked about wanting to add more stuff to, like, combat areas and things like that. Recently, I read, like, a Reddit Ask Me Anything with, like, the developer, and he was talking about stuff he wants to add to the game for free. And he originally had, like, the mines were procedurally generated each floor, and I guess it didn't work out, so he scrapped it, but I know there's elements that he wants to add in the actual gameplay. Like, he actually wants to add being able to grow coffee in-game, which I think would be super useful, because when you drink coffee, it, like, really speeds up your character. And, yeah, like, that's definitely one of the best perks being Mary Sebastian, because sometimes he'll give you coffee in the morning, and you can get so much shit done in the day if you have coffee. Holy shit, just like real life.
Yeah, that'd be pretty. I've
got coffee now, so that's helping me out.
But yeah, like, the developer plans on adding at least one huge like content update that'll be free to the game before he works on like huge things like DLC and trying to port to other systems.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options for him to do stuff. It's like, he's got enough room for DLC for years if he wanted to keep going. Years, I say.
Yeah, it seems like he wants to do a lot of stuff to this game, but it seems like he also has ideas for a couple other games as well, too. Like, he mentioned in that Reddit thingy that he has a couple of ideas for games already, so that's cool. I'm glad this, like, won't be the only thing he comes out with, because I really like it, so I definitely want to see what other stuff he puts out.
Yep. I agree. He should start a studio. A Stardew studio. Huh? Huh? No, it's not a good name. I'll think of another.
Stardudio.
Stardudio?
Nope.
I think, like, his company is technically named, like, Concerned Ape Games or whatever, but I don't know.
Wonder how much money he's made. He's probably made quite a bit of bank.
Yeah, I think he did. Somebody asked, like, how the success of the game has impacted his life, and he did mention having to hire an accountant, so, yeah.
I would assume it's a lot. Yeah. probably over $1 million, I would assume, if I had to take a wild
guess. Good for him.
Yep. A lot of work paid off for him. So have you been playing anything else, Mary?
I don't know if you would call it playing. Like, I've been messing with Miitomo. I've been answering its like weird invasive questions about what kind of people I want to go out with and what stores I shop at and what did I just buy recently? What movies do I like? Yeah.
Wow.
What's your social security number? What's your blood type? Where are you living?
So didn't you get this on the Japanese store?
Yeah, I did, and I'm still using the Japanese app install. Like, it works perfectly fine. They just updated the app, like, a couple days before the U.S. launch. And with that update, they let you select that you lived in different countries after that. Before, it just let you pick Japan. But yeah, after that, I was able to pick I lived in the U.S., and then I figured, well, if I can do that, then I ought to be able to link my Nintendo account, and I did, and it was fine, so it's cool.
So you didn't need to make, like, two Miis.
No, but I've heard some people actually complaining about that, like, they wanted to have, like, two separate instances, like, they would have their U.S. friends on one app and their Japanese friends on another app, and they're kind of upset that they can't do that, I guess, but I don't mind.
They want to live worldwide. Two lives. They want to live two lives. They want to be two different people.
Oh.
Ooh.
Nintendo doesn't support double lives.
Or do they?
Who knows about Mario? Yeah. Oh my god, Mario is Luigi. Luigi is Mario.
That's what he wants you to think.
Yep. So yeah, Miitomo. Is this just a big fishing thing?
Kinda. Well, like, it's more like a data gathering app thingy. I don't fucking know. Aggregate, whatever.
There were a few questions in there when I was playing it where I was like, it's a little personal.
What's your favorite Nintendo game?
Where do you live?
What How Nintendo much money do you spend on video games per month? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those old handouts that would show up in, like, your cart-based games or, like, in, like, the CD sleeve or something. Like a survey thing.
It does seem kind of like they're moving the Club Nintendo survey idea into, like, a more fun, social kind of way to, like, this Miitomo stuff. Because it does, like, reward you coins, and you can get Zelda Picross with it, so it kind of is a replacement for that in a weird way.
So, Zelda Picross, is that just there once you download Miitomo, or is it, like, you have to use your coins?
You have to use your coins. You have to go on the My Nintendo website. And, like, once your Miitomo account is linked with your My Nintendo account, like, you can actually click on the website and it'll show you, like, My Missions. And it's like, link your My Nintendo account and your Miitomo account with all of these other social services. So I basically just linked everything, made up a garbage Facebook account so I could get free Zelda. So, yeah, they got me. But, yeah, I wanted free Picross, okay?
Yeah.
And it's good free Picross. Like, it's better than the Pokemon free-to-play Picross for sure. So, because there's no garbage free-to-play stuff.
Yeah. I have been getting Picross on my phone, which is superb because I got a Samsung Galaxy Note 4, which comes with a stylus pen, so it's, like, absolutely perfect with Picross. But I found that there's some cool like color Picross grids, let's call them, where you have multiple colors, and that adds like a whole new level of difficulty.
Is that in the other game? It isn't in any of the Nintendo ones, but I have played like Japanese Picross DS games that do incorporate color as well.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it in the Pokemon one. Maybe I just didn't get to it.
No, yeah, like the Pokemon one and the Zelda one seem more like they're focused on being super easy for newcomers. Like, the Zelda Picross actually has a pretty long tutorial that is a pain in the butt to skip. Like, it is skippable, but you have to manually go through every lesson and skip each individual lesson, which is kind of a pain in the butt. Like, I don't care, Midna. I already know how to play Picross. Thank you. But yeah, like, and I'm always a buttons Picross player, so I never really go for, like, the phone versions of Picross. Like, I fucking love buttons. And this is basically just one of the eShop Picross titles with a Zelda skin on it. Just like Picross E6, E5, E4, whatever. Okay. It has basically all of the same exact stuff in there. It's made by the same people, so it makes sense. The only thing that's kind of neat and different is that when you complete, like, a puzzle, the little sprite image you can actually use as a stamp on Miiverse. So that's kind of cool, even though yeah. I don't use any of that garbage. But that's a nice little bonus, I guess. The only thing that kind of is shitty about this free Picross game is that just like the other Picross E titles, the completed pictures are kind of like they're repeated from the regular Picross puzzles into the Mega Picross puzzle. Like, it doesn't really bother me when I'm actually playing them because the solutions, like the number puzzle part, is different. So it still feels like a different puzzle. But like, if you're actually good and you look at the top screen and you're like, oh, this is Epona, I know how to fill this out. this doesn't matter. Like, I can see how that would be shitty and irritating.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It's nice for free, and I guess I'll still keep using Miitomo for now. It's cute. I like it. I like the dress-up factor to it. It's dumb, but whatever. It was free. It does take up so much space on my phone, though.
How big is it?
I'm not sure exactly, but I know it's more than a gig. Like, it's bigger than Idolmaster, so that's pretty fucking big for what it does.
And do they have any chance to expand it? Like, is this, like, the Nintendo Hub of these mobile games, or is it just its own weird, as Thardin says, fishing section?
Yeah, I think it is kind of its own weird standalone thing. Like, I'm sure they will promote, like, other Nintendo apps through it. Like, they'll probably have related clothing or something, or they'll bring it up in, like, a question somehow. Like, I'm sure there'll be some marketing for other Nintendo stuff through it, but I don't think they'll, like, unleash, like, full-fledged, like, extra mini-games. Like, I doubt it. Maybe one. Like, the little Plinko earn dress-up items through dropping your Mii friends in, like, a little pachinko area is kind of cool, but that's all that there is. Like, there's either that or buying clothes, and
There was one thing I saw on the Miitomo drop thing that I really wanted, and it's like the hardest thing to get. I was like, you motherfuckers.
That's how it always is, and it sucks.
I wanted to get the cat on the shoulder.
Aw.
And it's like the one you have to drop right the first thing that always has that thing moving next to it, like in front of it.
Yeah, and when you're, like, me is at its speediest and shit, yes, yeah. That sucks. Yeah, like, I don't know, do you guys think you're going to end up using or keeping Miitomo installed on your phones for much longer?
I don't know, it's fun to mess around with.
So yeah. I don't have it, but is it like the only way to like monitor the coins and stuff, or is that more done online?
It's more done online. Like Miitomo, you get a lot more extra coins through it. So I'm not really sure what other ways they're going to have you earn coins online other than through this app. Like, I suppose just purchasing things, like, that'll still always work. But I don't know. But yeah, that's basically all I've played. Like, there is some other junk in between, of course, but like pinball and shit, but that's mainly it.
Not particularly. this whole week was pretty much just watching Counter-Strike. So, I watched the first $1 million major Counter-Strike global offensive tournament that took place in Ohio. But yeah, it was overall it was a really well done tournament. There were like little to no delays, which was kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
A lot of upsets, a lot of really good matches, some blowouts.
The U.S. teams got destroyed again, kind
of? Not really. Two North American teams made it out of the group stages for the first time in like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
That's huge. One of them made it to the semifinals. That's really big, actually. With that's a stand-in.
Impressive. Yep. Wait, there's a stand-in? Who's the stand-in?
Adren on Team Liquid is the stand-in, because it's kind of an awkward situation. Like, they booted him,
mm-hmm.
and then they brought on another guy, but then they were like, wait, shit, we qualified for the major with this lineup, so we have to play with this lineup.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that, I mean, at least the NA teams did something.
Yeah, for a change.
Yeah, America, we did it.
Well, they didn't win, but...
You know, we did better than usual. We did...
Yeah.
And we're improving.
We're getting better. Someday, we might actually be okay. We're good. We're
not great.
One of the highlights of the tournament was watching Astralis completely demolish Fnatic in a best of two. And then taking their 2 minute timeout when they were at match point and Fnatic had like two rounds.
Best of two?
I said best of two? Best of three.
Yeah.
They won two maps out of a best of three.
Okay.
And so it was like 15-2. So for it's best of 30, so first of 16. 15-2 or 3, and they take a timeout. And then afterwards, he said, their leader was like, we took the timeout to make them respect us, because they said the match was going to be easy at the beginning, like at the opening nice. Interview before the match.
Huh, okay. Why do people got to do that? It always goes wrong, doesn't it?
Because Fnatic was really cocky, because they Hubris. Win a lot.
They are arguably like top three, right, in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're top three in the world, that's something you get a little bit of something, right?
Yeah, but have a little respect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, but then you need heels. Sports need heels, like the New England Patriots or the Dallas Cowboys. You need a heel.
Sports entertainment needs heels. I don't know about real sports, but whatever.
And like Chip Kelly.
Hey. Kelly is an individual who didn't like, know what he was doing. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know.
The Philly Eagles. Good. Philly Eagle hating.
Oh, nobody hates the Eagles. There's nothing to hate. We haven't won anything in years. It's not like we do well. Philadelphia doesn't like anybody, and nobody likes Philadelphia, alright? Let's be clear. Let's be clear.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, CSGO still going strong. It seemed like there were big crowds there, so that was cool.
Yeah, the Nationwide Arena, they had like half of it full.
That's crazy.
It was big as well. Like, that's a pretty big arena.
Yep.
Man, it's kind of crazy how far esports have come in such a short amount of time. From being literally, like, in people's, like, garages to major stadiums in a short amount of time. It's pretty incredible. Rapid success, one would say. So, yeah. DJ, did you play any games?
Yeah, I've played quite a few games. I swear I played more last week, but I cannot remember what I played. So I'm just going to kind of rattle off what I played this week, if I can remember. More Rocket League as usual. Just getting salty again. I tried playing doubles again, and I immediately got into that salt zone of hating my other player.
The salt zone.
The salt
zone.
Yeah,
the salt zone.
There was a guy in the in the crowd, one of the crowd shots at MLG Columbus, and he just had a big ass salt shaker, like just a big piece
giant
of cardboard and cut out, and yeah, no, it was like a salt shaker, like a tabletop.
Yeah, yeah, like,
yeah,
yeah.
And he was just like making it like fake sprinkle on people.
That's good. Yeah, more Senran and Kagura, still streaming it on the YouTube thingy. I plan to archive my whole route.
I love that our first videos on our thing are an unboxing video and then Senga Kagura. I love it so much.
Yep.
It's the internet.
I only aim to add the worst videos possible on that YouTube.
Good.
Someone's going to have to
You've got a track record and you're keeping it up, so good on you.
Yeah, and I've recently bought a PS4 camera, so you can enjoy me staring at the screen.
Oh boy.
Slowly getting sadder and sadder that I'm wasting more and more time on this game. Like, I'm already at part 5, which is probably about 6 or 7 hours in. Like, I've already seen most of the game. Like, granted, there's still 2/3 or 3/4 of the actual story to do, but gameplay, I've basically dealt with everything. It's just grinding now.
It's just repeating that over and over and over again.
Yep. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes, like, that repeat works. Like, in your instance, and, like, 5 months ago, my instance with Cinderella Girls, that grindy repeatingness has been implemented in a new mobile game that I've been playing, and that's called Clash Royale.
Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that to yourself?
I got bored with my bus trips because I couldn't find any games to play, and I watched
Dude, play
most
Bejeweled
of my stuff
or something. Come
on Netflix. I don't like Bejeweled. They like Match 3 business. I got enough of that in, what was that game? Honey Pop. I mean, what? And then, like, yeah, so, like, friend of the show, Popcans, was like, why didn't you just play Clash Royale? And I was like, fine, I'll see how bad this game is for an hour or so. And I'm still stuck on it. I'm still playing it.
Is Popcans the one out there right now collecting people for the guild?
Yes.
If that's what he's doing that? Okay.
He's gotta go.
I think he's doing it because he's the leader and he's got like the most points. And the guild thing is like you can share cards in it. Like you can request cards from other people. So I think that's what he's doing.
Oh, classic pyramid scheme style. Yep. Like the dude at the top. Yeah, he's gonna get all the cards from you guys, hopefully. Yeah, I see.
Like, I mean, we can all request cards from each other as well, but I think that's why he wants to do it mostly, so he can get more cards.
He's drunk on power now. He'll never stop. What have we done? Yeah. What have we done?
So there's quite a few of us.
Blame the mobile game, not you.
Yeah, there's quite a few of us in that clan thing there, and it's good, but you can easily within a day get to a zone where you're just grinding out and then grinding and grinding. Like I'm level 3 and it's taken me about 5 days to get halfway through to level 4. It's getting into that grind zone of if I want to continue on, I'll probably play it for another week. But if it doesn't get any better, then I'll probably just give up on it and then be stuck on the bus with something else.
Here's
that
the
I need
secret.
To play.
What? It never gets better. It never gets better.
I know. But I want to master the idea of like the super weak but super rush, kind of like the Zerg rush in Clash Royale, which is basically you just get a bunch of the low-priced cards, but they spawn like six or so units at a time, and they're weak. But like, if
are you really explaining a Zerg Rush right
now?
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah. Who knows who listens to this?
Yeah, I don't think my little sister was heavy into StarCraft. Fair enough.
Yeah. StarCraft is not what it used to be. People don't know StarCraft anymore. You gotta understand.
What's that? First of all, what's that card game that's got black and white cards and is really lewd at times?
Cards Against Humanity?
Yes, that's it. There's also a card in there that's a StarCraft joke, but none of us knew it when we played it. It's like, must build additional pylons or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, I had to Google it and realized it was a StarCraft joke. I still don't know it. Yep. But okay. After that, I also got into this, like, dumb thing. I think it was Monday or Sunday last week, but GameSpot ran a news thing where Animaniguchi was going to partner with some design studio to release a game, and then Animaniguchi on Twitter, like, just started freaking out, and then said, fuck it, here's the alpha of the game early. So I was like, oh shit, I should get this while I can, and I did. And then, long story short, it's actually, like, just a viral marketing campaign for, like,
publicity stunt thing.
Yeah, yeah. And for a bunch of unreleased songs. Like, it starts off as your typical, like, alpha version of a shooter, and then, like, it opens. It obviously, like, leads you in a direction to open up the console commands and get to this one map, which actually is what the game is, which is kind of like a weird little zone where you can search around and look for hidden tapes. And
yeah, I think they labeled that level sandbox, like, specifically. Yeah. So
yeah, like, developer sandbox. And then, yeah, you just look around for tapes, doing, like, very basic puzzles and stuff. And then you have this, like, unit that follows you called the FRUG, or the Frog. And then he's also acting like a boombox and just sort of, like, plays the music as you find the tapes. Or you can put them on this wall. And once you get 10 and then unlock the thingy, you can actually export the tapes. But I found out that I was like, okay, I'm going to collect every single tape because, yeah, why not? I want to collect them all and then export them all. But no, the game says, fuck you, and it only exports one, closes the game, and then just deletes your save. So, like, you only get one song at a time, and then you can waste another, like, 20 minutes finding another track, and then, yeah. It's a real bad way to allow your fans to export the songs. But yeah, it was fun and cute.
It was pretty cute. Like, it was a cute little way to give out free tracks. And, like, of course the internet does its work, and, like, fans ripped all of the MP3s together really fast. So you didn't really have to go through it, like, every single time. I thought, yeah, it was a pretty cute way of, like, releasing a whole bunch of free stuff. It was cute. I liked it. It was nice for free. Yeah. Nice to mess around with for a day.
Sounds like an alright PR thing. It doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah,
and that was a smart thing. The little floating robot dude was pretty cute, and he liked laughing out loud a whole lot. And I was like, uh-oh, I type that way too often. I don't want to be like Frog and, like, irritate the shit out of myself like this robot currently is. So, yeah.
All right. And did you play anything else? Anything else?
I couldn't remember what games I played, so I had this shitty list, and I was like, okay, I should actually play a game. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, I have Assassin's Creed Unity, because I was cleaning out my room, moved my shoeboxes out of their wardrobe, and then pushed all my, what are they, collector's editions. So, like, I've got almost all of the Assassin's Creed collector editions. With the dumb statues, and I was like, oh shit, I have Assassin's Creed Unity and Syndicate, I should play Unity. And I started that, and accidentally started that at, say, like, 2 p.m. today, and then only realized we were podding, like, 20 minutes ago, and then I was like, oh, I'm still playing this.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad game. It's probably because I'm playing it, what, like 2.5 years since its launch or something, when it was janky as fuck. Yeah, and I'm not getting much jank. It's the storyline is meh so far, but I kind of want to do this game where I'm just going to rush through the story because I do hear it's not the best of games and Syndicate's a hell of a lot better. So if I can just mainline the story, I want to see how quick it is, because I never actually do that in Assassin's Creed games. I always do the like, hey, look, you've got a base to upgrade. Oh, I'll upgrade this, so I'll buy everything in this district. I like doing that usually.
I'm going to unlock all the swords, yeah.
Yeah. And then, there's like a few things I noticed is like, there's almost everyone that's a main character is just British. I don't know why. they're all just British. Like, sometimes you'll see the people in the crowds and stuff, they'll speak French. But everyone who matters is British, and it's just really weird considering it's set in Paris, France. Granted, there's a lot of, like, Templars around, and that might make a bit of sense, but it's still really weird when these British people are crossing in between English and then speaking French at random intervals. And it's coming from Ubisoft, which is, like, a French company, right? Anyway.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it's easier for me to understand, like, a typical, like, English-British accent or whatever than, like,
sure.
French-accented English. Maybe that's why they did it. I have no idea.
Sure, but I mean, get in character at least, or like get into the location.
I would prefer it. Like, I'd rather turn on subtitles or something than like, yeah, just hear a bunch of British people. That is pretty weird.
Yeah.
There
was another thing I thought of as well. The game, when you pop it in, just comes up with like the logo and then like says press X to start, and then it goes immediately into a cutscene, which is weird because. What if you're sort of deaf or something and you still want to play this game? You can't, like, immediately go into the subtitles. I was wondering if that's a thing that affects a lot of games.
That totally sucks. I wonder if there's, like, a global, like, Uplay setting, possibly. I doubt it, but that would be one way they could handle it, at least. But yeah, I doubt they bothered to do that. That sucks.
Yeah. And it was like a couple cutscenes before you could get into like a start menu. So like you miss a lot of the early stuff, which is relevant, vaguely relevant to the end of Black Flag, where spoilers, like you kind of get kidnapped by the OG crew that helps you in Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and I guess 3? Yeah, I guess 3.
So they still bother to tie all these games together, like, nominally? Wow, okay. Yep. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, those guys make a comeback, and they're like, they enlist you from the weird Ubisoft Abstergo guys in Black Flag, and they're like, hey, we need your help so we can figure out what they're trying to look for. That's what they're saying in Unity, at least. And then, like, they're going to find something. Apparently this one story is like vaguely tied into everything at most. It's its own little thing anyway, but hopefully Syndicate's a lot better. The other thing I noticed is while there's not as much jank as when this game first came out, there's still a lot of dumb jank. Like within the first 5 minutes, it's just dumb stuff. Like, first 5 minutes, I was climbing up this building, I did the synchronized stuff, and then, like, 20 minutes later, I get put in a prison, and then the Eagle Vision thing is explained to this character, and is like, oh, shit, I'm an assassin. Like, even though he's doing these dumb assassin-y things.
That's dumb, yeah.
Immediately, as I was dropping down from that building, I jumped off, like, 3 stories. And landed on this lady who was sweeping, but like I just went through her and she did nothing. Like there was no movement or anything.
Here
she
just goes, man,
they really like just to throw you into that jank.
Yeah.
In those Assassin's Creed games. Like you guys have seen that video, right, that I made of my very first experience with Black Flag.
Oh yes, yeah.
It's like you spawn on the ship, you have to walk across the top of the ship and get behind the wheel. All right? So I do, and it doesn't progress. I just sit there and I die. And then I reload it and I fall through the top of the ship.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I'm floating around in the water.
It's so janky, these games. Another dumb thing was like, I was going in through crowds and stuff, and then like you get alerted by police or like the town's guard or whatever, and the crowd starts dispersing. And I just noticed going past me, one guy was almost in like a T-pose. He was frozen, but like there was no up-down motion in his walk. He was just sliding across the floor.
Oh, just gliding? Just
kept going, yep. Like stuff like that is just really prevalent in this game. Like you can jump through people, you can jump on top of people and they won't move at all. People will clip in through other people within the crowds. Like they fixed the face stuff and like probably a lot of the like normal other things of the no clipping and the important scenes, but the crowd is still so janky. From what I've played, I've counted like 16 dumb things that have happened so far.
And that's kind of lame too, because I remember like when they were selling Unity, like they were really selling that crowd tech and like how immersive and like real life it would be. And they'll all run away like when shit happens and blah, blah, blah. That sucks that it's kind of busted still.
Turns out it doesn't really mean anything if they're just like things you can walk through.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then like, yeah, I don't know if you guys can remember, but everyone was complaining the fuck about the map and how, like, there was just so much shit on there. Yeah, that's still true, because they let you zoom out, or they start the map whenever you bring it up at such a zoomed out area that it's just icons. You can't see shit below. It's just icons everywhere. There's too many chests. There's, like...
How am I going to find all those towers?
Exactly, like when you get the tower, like 6 or 8 chests appear, and then also the like collectible medallions appear on your screen as well. There's staircases that you need to know about. There's symbols that you need to know about.
Staircases?
Yes, you can actually go under the stairs in the Notre Dame cathedral. Yeah,
like the catacombs or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they've like implemented a smaller section of the catacombs in that place. It's weird. There's way too much shit up there.
And there, like, are there any options to where you can like filter in and out, like some icons on the mini map, maybe? Like,
like your main mission or just missions?
Yeah. Well, that's not as bad, I guess. If you can, like, turn off shit you don't want to see, then I guess that's okay. But that does suck that you have to go through and manually do it all.
Yeah, and then there's also these, again, another thing that people complained about was the nomad chests. And that, if I remember correctly, was tied into the mobile app.
Yeah.
And you had to do some bullshit on the mobile app to unlock those. No, these are all just unlocked now. I think Ubisoft just unlocked them all.
So well, I don't think you can, like, use the mobile app anymore, so I would hope they would, like, unlock all that shit. So, yeah, good.
That makes sense. But it's kind of weird, because these Nomad chests kind of have a lot of money, and where normal chests have maybe 75 or 100 Florians, whatever they are, the
Fs. So they didn't rebalance the game to take that into effect. Oh, great. Cool.
The first three Nomad chests.
Why would they do that?
Yeah, the first three I opened gave me like 3,000 Florians in total already. It's just like, okay, I'm going to get a lot of money real quick here.
Well, now it'll be even easier for you to just zoom through this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to spend it all on upgrading that like zone, because you unlock some other shit there. And they have their usual, like, hey, find these 3 very unique hidden things and you'll unlock this master chest of, like, armor. But I don't care for that. I'm not going to waste my time on that. They're called Enigma codes or something like that. No, Nostradamus codes. That's what it is. Yep. Which makes more sense.
Not really.
Yeah.
It's Assassin's Creed, come on.
A little more time relevant. But yeah, that's mostly my Assassin's Creed playing. I'll probably try and rush it and get to Syndicate as quick as possible.
That's what you should do, is Syndicate.
Right.
Or go play Syndicate, like the shooter one, the new one, the 2013 version. That game's awesome. Go play that.
Everybody
should go play that.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I've been playing. I guess I've been playing like Trackmania 2 Stadium as well on occasion, but it's my usual of I'll jump in for 10 minutes and just butts around and then quit out usually.
Yeah, it's super great for that.
Yeah. How were you with your like times? Were you decent? Were you getting the feel of the car quick enough?
Yeah, I was getting into it. Like, I would make the leaderboards. Like, normally there would be only about, like, 20 people playing, so it wasn't that big of a feat to make the leaderboard. But, yeah, like, I got like, third place once on a track, and I was very proud of myself, yeah.
Nice. When you get the pros in, like, a server, it gets real depressing because they're usually like a second ahead of you and you're just like, how the fuck did they do that?
Yeah, like I was holding gas down the whole time. I didn't bump the sides. I can't do any better than that.
Yeah. And then like you see their lap and it's just like they're right on the edge of these turns and they're just doing everything perfectly, essentially. Like, it's crazy how the timing in Trackmania 2 can be. It's like, that's why there's a reason the timing goes to like 0.000 of accuracy.
Yeah. All these crazy French games.
All by Ubisoft. Oh, I hope Trackmania Turbo opens up on PC so it allows for generic ass servers. And
it's not gonna. It would cost too much money.
That's true.
All right, so I played some XCOM, which I finally beat. I feel pretty good about that. Boy, that took me forever. It took me months and months and months of XCOMing. And it was pain.
How many times did you have to, like, restart your whole game?
I never restarted my game, but it was... Boy, I save scummed a lot, let me tell you.
You are scum. Wow, that's not how you play that game.
Oh man!
Play it right.
It was that though. I just got too far ahead. It was one of those weird things where I beat an early mission, which is kind of like a checkpoint thing for harder enemies, way too soon, and I didn't have any of this stuff built up. Yeah, it was bad.
It's just like a fluke win.
Yep, a fluke win, and then everything got bad.
Everything went real bad.
So, like, to give you a sense of how far ahead I was early game, I beat the first big mission thing on day 68. The world average for that day is 148. Mm. It was, yeah. Way too soon.
Go ahead. It's been long enough. What was that final mission?
The final mission is a big ship comes down a la Independence Day. You have to get a psychic dude, someone you've leveled up in psychic stuff. Psychic? Is that how you say that? And then you have to take them. You got to put them in the Gallup chamber, which is like a weird room with like a purple orb thing. Mm-hmm. He becomes the savior of mankind.
What?
He becomes Mr. Master Psychic Man, who can do crazy psychic stuff.
Dr. Manhattan.
He becomes, pretty much Dr. Manhattan. And then you fly together with all your troops. Well, with your squad. Not all your troops, because that'd be a lot of things to manage. But you fly with your squad to the giant ship. And then they throw every enemy in the game at you. And then you get to the last thing, and you fight the big boss guy who's like a psychic monster thing. And you kill him, and then the ship starts turning into a black hole. So you have to use your psychic dude who kills himself to save planet Earth from the psychic ship black hole thing. And that is XCOM, Enemy Unknown, Enemy Within, Enemy Whatever.
Aliens.
Aliens?
Are you going to get XCOM 2?
No. I'm done. No? I'm done. Why? With that series forever.
You need a break? Oh, a permanent break?
Yep. That scratched the itch, and I never want any more of that ever again. Yep. It was pretty rough. Boy, was it rough. It took me god dang near... I probably put upwards of 70 tries on one mission. Just continuously... getting killed and then restarting and getting killed and then restarting.
That, I would have started a whole new game. No.
I was so far by that point, though. I couldn't restart. You can't restart. You gotta keep going.
You did keep restarting, like, over and over and over 70 times, though.
I cared about my characters. They were all interesting nicknames.
Yeah.
There's Mama Bear. She was a lady with a big machine gun and like a rocket launcher. It was perfect.
That's good.
Okay.
Mama Bear is dispensable. She's yesterday's news.
Gee. Okay. Twitch, who's like the streamer. He's a streamer. He does streaming. He's the black guy. He streams Soul Calibur.
Does he go invisible?
No.
Does he poison people?
He runs up to people and shoots them in the face, and that's about it. Pretty good.
That's
pretty good. I don't know. It was an interesting experience. Like, I enjoyed my time with it. I think it's a good game. But I just don't want any more. Like, it felt so conclusionary. You stop the big threat, and everything's kind of done. World is saved. And I don't really have any...
But what if you didn't save the world?
Oh, man.
Whoa, what then?
And the aliens come back. Isn't that the whole thing of XCOM 2? Is the aliens came back and whipped your ass?
Yeah.
They didn't like it, so they...
And then you gotta take it back.
It just doesn't...
You gotta make Earth great again.
Donald Trump, the first commander of XCOM.
I mean, he basically looks like a fucking psychic alien or something.
Looks like a thin man.
His hair tells him this is the source of his power.
His hair is a secret face hugger.
Like a brain slug, yes.
Yep.
And beyond XCOM, I also played like Pokemon Shuffle. Pokemon Shuffle?
The phone version? The cell phone version? Not on the 3DS?
They made a cell phone.
They
wow.
Made a cell phone.
Yeah, like we totally predicted it here.
It's pretty good. It's pretty enjoyable. It's kind of all the terrible things about phone games all smashed into one, but, you know, it's Pokemon.
It has Pokemon in it, yeah.
Yeah. And special events. There's special events. There's expert levels, which are, like, really hard, I guess. I have no idea. I've never tried one.
And the game is bullshit based on what your starting, like, layout is, and fuck that game.
Yeah.
That's what I concluded with my time with Pokemon Shuffle.
People can get different starting layouts?
Yeah, like if you go into a puzzle and not actually start it and exit back out, like it'll have a different board layout and maybe your combos will be better and not bullshit. Yeah, and fuck that game. I don't want to save scum fucking Pokemon Shuffle. No.
Yeah. Well, I'll be damned. I didn't know that. That does work. Huh. Okay. All right. I thought, okay, never mind.
Your Pokemon Shuffle pro tips. No, don't, my mind don't is play blown. This game. Yeah, like, it sucks that, yeah, I got so, like, desperate to actually beat levels. I would go in and out looking for, like, better, like, board layout, starting layout. And, yeah, fuck that game. It made me angry.
Mm-hmm. So is this what Pokemon Go is going to be? Is this like you buy Pokeballs?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Wah-wah. No. Yes.
Is there going to be an energy counter and a diamond currency, perhaps? Is this what we're looking forward to with Nintendo products on mobile phones now? All the worst things? Anyone have an answer for me on that? Because it seems like...
I actually did read impressions from the Pokemon Go field test, and like there is Pokemon battling, and there are potions and items and stuff, but there's like no status effects. You don't battle wild Pokemon, you just like catch them when you find them. I don't know. It seems weird.
I guess with Nintendo products, their goal is to make you buy the actual product and not make a mobile phone version that is good enough
would
to
replace
complete.
It. Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, but it's also difficult when, like, with Pokemon, you're like, you can totally see ways they could improve Pokemon, and
I think
just
they
don't
try and keep that strategy. Yeah, with like all of the Pokemon games, so you have a reason to keep purchasing them in perpetuity. Like, oh, you want the dress up, you have to buy Pokemon X and Y. Oh, you want all the legendaries, you need like the fucking Ruby and Sapphire redo. Yeah, it's how they get you.
It's how they get you. So, yeah. Oh, wait. Let me tell you an XCOM story.
Oh.
Let me tell you my XCOM story before we go on the news. So, there's this lady, right? In this one mission, the really hard one, which I was restarting 70 times or something like that. Mm-hmm. She was like a rookie recruit. And she gets, you know, she was getting killed every single time. Somehow, at the end of my 70 tries, she somehow lived it. And it just so turns out that she is the person that becomes a psychic recruit at the end. And she goes on and saves the world. It's a pretty good story. That's my story. That's
pretty nice. Yeah, the one time you managed to save her, she was the key to everything. Yeah, that's cool.
It was a good story. All right, we can move on to news then, unless anybody else has a video game.
Cheerleader.
What? Cheerleader? What?
Heroes strike.
Whoa. Jesus, yeah. What? Zero, what?
Heroes, like, that's... Wasn't that, like, 10 years ago or
yes.
something now?
The only good season, but shh.
Okay. Okay! News!
News.
Wrestling.
Wrestling? Okay, so... we're not gonna start with that first news story, because that's a little deep. Let's start with this here. Valve found guilty of breaching Australian consumer law.
Oh,
I know, everyone's favorite title. Everyone's favorite title. So at the time, in August of 2014, Valve offered no refund policy. Australia's consumer law requires businesses to refund for faulty goods.
Hmm.
This is a national law, and so by standing up for its citizens, the Australian Competition and Consumers Commission took Valve to court over this. And apparently, won. I found them guilty of breaching consumer law. This is like the first ruling on this. I know the EU has been talking about this for a while with Valve, and it's certainly been a news story that's bounced around in the headlines, but this is the first time that Valve was found guilty of being bad consumer stuff. And so they haven't handed out a cash penalty yet, but they're going to, I believe, at some point. Of course, they may have handed it out by now, but it would be.
I mean, Valve now has the thingy, at least. Thingy being the refund
policy.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they implemented it after this whole thing happened, yeah.
Probably someone did a legal team came over and said, hey guys, do we not do this? And they were like, no, we don't. You need to start doing that, or we're going to get sued a lot, and we're going to lose a lot. So, they at least changed it, but still at the same time, I guess it kind of sucks for people who couldn't get in on that and stuff still. So, I guess this is somewhat vindication for people.
Basically, if you're going to conduct business in Australia or sell things to Australians, you need to make sure you're following their consumer laws, because saying like, oh, well, we're based in another country, that won't work. That won't work.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, I don't know.
It's like, too bad.
I don't know. I guess it kind of sets a precedent, right? Now they can be sued by other countries over this.
Well, it sets a precedent for Australian, like, online laws in other countries. Like, other countries owning businesses and operating in Australia. Yeah.
I guess.
I'm not sure if it would affect, like, Valve. Well, I mean, Valve has, it already has affected Valve. Like, Valve has implemented refunds, so yeah. I guess they figure it's easier to just do that than have to worry about other countries.
Odds are that lawsuit was filed, like, before they implemented their refund policy.
Oh, for sure.
And that's how they can win it. Whereas if you try and sue them now, it might be a little more
tough. Pretty sure that's the case. Bell.
Really?
Yeah, because I know, like, other countries, especially in Europe, have very strong consumer protection laws as well. So, I mean, after Australia wins, who's to stop, like, other governments from just suing Valve and saying, okay, we want our cut too. So yeah, it totally makes sense to go ahead and implement this right away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think it sets precedent in terms of, like, international law or anything like that, but it's still kind of the first ruling on something like this in terms of online services in this way.
Well, like, certain states have to pay online sales tax and stuff, too. So, yeah, that shit is annoying. Yeah.
Amazon was, didn't Amazon get brought to court over that at some point? Or said something about it? Where they're not quite sure what sales tax they have to apply, because all the different states have different sales tax or whatever? Wasn't that something that happened at one point? I could be mistaken, though.
There was a lawsuit with New York State kind of recently, but yeah, they've been sued for, like, from a lot of states, I'm pretty sure.
So this is good in some ways, right? Because this is stuff that needs to be ironed out, because all this new services and stuff need to be made aware that certain things do not fly. In the Australian outback, certain things just outback. Don't fly.
If you're going to do business internationally, make sure you know those laws before you start doing it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In our next news story, Bandai Namco is opening the VR Zone Project ICANN in Tokyo. What? Someone explain this to me. Somebody talk to me about this.
Like the Discovery Zone?
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
X-Zone.
I used to go to Discovery Zone as a kid. I loved the Discovery Zone.
I never got to go to one.
Oh, it was great. It was amazing. You missed out. You missed out! Okay, so tell me about this VR Zone.
They're basically opening up a little, like, office thingy. Like, there's a video ad you can watch as well, like, on YouTube or whatever. But yeah, Bandai Namco is opening up a 5,870 square foot VR Zone. And they're going to, like, supposedly research feedback on possibilities in VR gaming, and they basically just have, like, little demos that you can do. They have, like, a fear of heights simulation where you're just walking on, like, a balance beam and you're using a Vive.
Nope.
And you have to get a little plush kitty cat at the end of the balance beam, and it's like you're suspended 200 meters above the ground on, like, skyscrapers and shit. But you have to save the kitty cat.
Oh, man.
There's downhill skiing.
Okay, I would do it.
Yeah. Ski okay. Rodeo.
The best thing about that cat one is ski in this rodeo. Video, there's an actual cat right at the end of the plank.
Oh, that's great.
A real kitty cat?
Well, no, like a statue, but they still put it there,
oh,
even though
that.
They're in VR and can't see it.
I want a real cat.
That'd be pretty awesome if it was a real cat just sitting there, and you just walk over there and start petting it. Whoa! This is really real!
This is so real.
But yeah,
this is,
like,
great.
They have a driving thing, a horror thing, where you're in a giant ruined hospital.
Oh!
Your train operating thing where you're operating the JR Yamanote line. So expect some VR Densha de Go shit later on, possibly, maybe.
Huh.
A weird giant robot thing. Argyle Shift, a cinematic experience where together with a girl you enter the cockpit of a giant robot in battle.
Oh man.
So you get to become anime, basically. Like, Ray's
yeah.
gonna be in the LCL with you. So yeah, it seems pretty cool. They maybe will open up other like stores or arcades or whatever. May implement more VR zones depending on how this does. Like, it's all appointment only, and it's only running from April 15th to like mid-October. So at least this specific one, who knows, maybe they'll open up more around the country later on. But it seems pretty cool. Like, I know Bandai Namco also did some Morpheus, like PlayStation VR demos as well, too. So it's interesting to see some big companies working in VR stuff. Like, I haven't seen a ton of those yet. Like, I know EA is doing that Star Wars thing, but I'd like to see more stuff like that, too.
I've been saying for years, though, like, VR is going to be big for arcades, so I'm glad to see people moving out on that. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, I like that idea as well.
I would definitely love to try out VR before I spend, like, $800 on it. $800 plus, really.
Whatever, that sounds really cool, and as long as if it takes off and brings in the resurgence of Battletech centers, then, you know, I'm all on board.
All right.
Yeah, I want to see more VR giant robot stuff for sure, because, yeah, I haven't seen enough of that yet.
Cool
stuff. I would like to see more experiences as well. Like, whoever thought of that walking on a plank thing is a genius, because it works so well.
Yep. It definitely works pretty well.
Yeah, at the end of this video clip, I mean, of course, it shows, like, a lot of people, like, oh, I'm on TV, it's a commercial, I'm freaking out. Whoa! But yeah, like,
it's like the equivalent of a YouTube thumbnail.
Totally. But, like, one guy falls off the plank, like, at the end, and they have, like, people in lab coats catching him. It's pretty goofy, but it looks fun. I'd definitely try it if I was in Tokyo.
Good.
I was going to say another cool experience they could do is just simply having, like, a fake periscope on a 360 thing, and you're on a swivel chair. And then the periscope handles have, like, triggers, so you can, like, zoom in and out. And then, I don't know, just scan shit or find some shit and have it as, like, a horror thing or something. That's a nice another
also, idea for an experience. Like, Bandai Namco also put out, like, this PDF talking about this Project ICANN thingy. And in it, they have this little poster. And it's the best example of VR face I have ever seen.
Well, there, like, goes. There's
I want my face to look like that permanently, 24/7. It's great.
Well, which one? There's a whole bunch. There's, like, the dude driving. He's
the
like,
dude
yeah.
in the center. Well, all of them
And then there's the girl
good.
On the side. She's like, oh, no.
Oh!
Yeah.
But the dude in the middle is the best. He's like the ultimate form. Yeah.
He just saw some real crazy shit.
He's on drugs, let me tell you. That's going to be the thing for this podcast.
Yay.
That's a great image. All right. Let's continue on with VR talk. So, unless you haven't heard, Oculus Rift has launched, everyone. The first VR is here. It launched Monday, right? Monday.
Yeah.
Yep.
None of us have it, so
we can't really
talk much about it. But it launched Monday. We could talk about how some
get
people
get those
haven't
touch
got
controllers out, and we'll talk.
Yep.
We can talk about how some people don't have their Rifts yet, and people are upset about it. People are upset about not receiving their Rifts on their scheduled time.
So am I right? It's just the Kickstarter backers that have their Rifts currently.
Right.
Yeah.
So far.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the pre-order guys got shafted, essentially.
You know, I mean, I get that this is probably a new thing for Oculus/Facebook is launching something on a big thing like this and getting all these things ready on time. But also it's like, come on, you had some time. If you're going to set a launch date, I could see one or two, but if you're having serious problems getting a large number of people to Oculus, then maybe you shouldn't launch on that day.
Yeah.
And I can see, like, maybe they just have a small production chain or whatever. That's fine, but if I pre-ordered an Oculus, please at least give me some kind of time frame on when it's going to show up, maybe. Like, that's what the main complaint I've seen from people who've pre-ordered is that they don't have, like, much of a time frame at all. Like, there was a time frame when they first ordered, and that was it. Like, they haven't had their orders been updated at all, other than, like, shipping soon, and that's about it. So that sucks.
And when they ordered it, that time was jumping so damn quickly, or at least on that first day, that, like, even when you started ordering, it probably was, say, like, May the 5th, but who knows, by the time you finished filling in all your details, that could have jumped to end of May, and you don't even know.
So I guess in response to this, they're going to be covering shipping costs, at least for people, so that's kind of good, I guess. That's kind of nice.
But
it doesn't stop the pain, I know.
Don't go ordering it now, because I think they say only pre-orders get their shipping costs for free.
And someone who actually reached out to Oculus after they pre-ordered and were wondering like what the status of their order was, actually, like, here's a quote from a mail they got back from a representative. "We've been working through an unexpected component shortage, and unfortunately, that issue has impacted the original shipping estimates for some early customers." So yeah, apparently they are running low on some parts, and that's affecting their whole shipping chain. So that sucks.
Yeah.
But hopefully they'll work it out. But yeah, they should probably hurry at, like, sell as many units as possible before all of these other headsets start releasing and they get more competition. At least I would, if I were them.
Huh, okay. Also, in other Oculus news, which is kind of evil, there's some weird things in the old Oculus Rift term of service. You want to know what some of them are?
Yeah, where it likes to talk to Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
What?
It wants to be able to better market to you. You have to understand.
Does it ask you to sign in via Facebook?
Oh, no. Don't even give them ideas on that. That'd be terrible. I don't want people to know when I'm using my Oculus Rift.
Well, if you upload anything to the Oculus Rift, like, they own it now, too. So, I mean, that's kind of standard if you upload stuff to places, but yeah.
Just listen to this here quote from the Terms of Service. "By submitting user content through the services, you grant Oculus a worldwide, irrevocable, permanent, i.e. lasting forever, non-exclusive, transferable, royalty-free, and fully sub-licensable right to use, copy, display, store, adapt, publicly perform, and distribute such user content in connection with our services. You irrevocably consent to any and all acts or omissions by us or our persons authorized by us that may infringe any moral right in your user content." Boy,
okay.
They take everything from you.
Like, yeah.
They can just use it. Or anyone that they work with can use it.
Does that mean they can take my voice, too? Like, the headset has a microphone. And I wonder, like, how, like, if that microphone is on constantly? Like, all the time?
I mean, it's not apparent on the outside, right? Like, that's the thing that people have been saying. That mic is really good from the few audio recordings I've heard of it. But where is it? It's not even apparent there is a microphone.
And they weren't saying where it was. What's up with that? Like, remember at E3?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we're not going to tell you where the mic is. Like, why?
Weird.
That's super sketchy. That's super sketchy. And so it can collect data, which, you know, you kind of assume with Facebook that they would want to collect some kind of data because they love that data collecting. Boy, do they. They do.
I wonder if you find the mic and you just hold it up to your face and go, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. if that triggers something for it to turn off.
It also mentions something about the device's GPS signal. Like, what? Is this, like, just weird standard boilerplate? It first mentions it in relation to IP addresses. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, you can find people's rough location through IP address.
Yeah, geolocating with IP addresses. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Why would you need that? You're tethered to a PC. It's not like you're going to drive around with it.
I don't know, but yeah, it's so weird to mention the device's GPS signal. Like, what? It doesn't actually have GPS built in? That's weird as hell. Okay. Sure.
It's a digital GPS, man. Virtual reality, so you don't get lost.
Sends back information about your physical movements and dimensions when you use a virtual reality headset. So yeah, it can like tell if, like, I guess you have to input your height as well because of stuff. And that's so weird. So weird. Height-based marketing.
My dimensions?
Yeah. It's so weird. Ugh.
I can't wait for, like, VR pranks to occur, though, coming out of this. Like, I was just thinking, if someone's got their music turned up super loud, like, just someone fucking with them, like, switching rooms with them, or, like, making them think they've moved somewhere, or, like, building a giant box around them.
It just makes me, yeah, like, totally want to hack up the Rift and, like, spoof out all the data shit it's putting out and just feed them lies, because fuck you. I don't know.
Joke's on you. I'm 100 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly.
Just fuck up all their numbers.
Anime games, yeah.
The average height of the Oculus Rift user base is 300 feet.
Yeah, like, it's, I understand, like, that's what companies do now, is collect all this data and then sell it for some reason, but, weird.
Huh. Well, that's all very interesting stuff. So, do you guys think that you will be getting an Oculus, or do you think you'll, wait for, like, a Vive or something? Like, what's your, after your initial impressions?
After looking at all of like the specs and stuff, and there's like there's a major FOV difference between the Vive and the Oculus by like 30 degrees.
Wow.
That right there is like, oh, I'm getting the Vive. Duh.
Yeah.
I'm not paying that much money for a low field of view in virtual reality. You kidding me? No. That's like difference between 70 and 100.
Yeah. It definitely, for me, was the Move controllers, because, like, man, that seems like the thing you want. You really want those Move controllers. Just things that I would just like to reach out and push or touch or something like that. It just, it's so limiting not having those.
Totally, yeah. Very true.
I want to be able to use the Vive and then buy the Oculus Touch controllers just by themselves and just use those. Because I like those. Those look more user-friendly, because they have, like, joysticks and buttons on them, and then it has your gesture recognition and stuff.
Oh yeah, I forget the Vive is using the Steam controller.
The weird touchpad things, yeah.
Yeah, ugh. Granted, I've never used it, but it just always looks ugh.
I have. It's not great.
I don't know. With the prices of all these things, like, I've had like surprise bills lately, so I'm just gonna wait until they're all fucking out and wait until there's some software like I actually want to use. Like,
that's probably the best course of action right now.
I can wait. I've been waiting years already. Just fuck it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep. Anyway, we'll move on to our
Thowden, but I want to look like the man in that Bandai Namco poster. I want to have the happy VR face. I want to have the glowing face with, like, the eyes bugging out and shit. I want that to be me now.
You want the VR face? You want the, like, the red ring around your face?
I want to be VR. We are VR, etc. Yes.
You are apparently if you have a ring around your face when you're done using that thing, it's way too tight.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to adjust that top strap. Apparently, yeah.
Yep.
But no, it looks great when you have a fucking ring around your face. And
and you end
red
up on the front page of Reddit.
Yep.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. I guess, isn't the HTC coming out tomorrow?
I think
it is coming out, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see more about that. I'm really curious to see how that is. Also, I would like to say now, who told you that the PSVR might actually not be totally bunk? It was me. It was me that said it.
Who is saying it's not totally bunk, though?
Me. I'm saying that it's going to be pretty cool.
It's not out yet. Like, I don't
I'll
know.
Care when they bring it to PC. Like they said that they're thinking about.
Yeah, that was
an or that they're
that
open
would be
to.
Super cool.
There was an interview somewhere where someone on the PSVR team said they're open to bringing it to PC.
Yep.
Or they're considering it or something.
I mean, like, will the PS4 camera connect to the PC? That's
it
one
just
thing.
Just plugs in.
It's probably
via
just
USB,
right?
Yeah.
It does
so...
not.
Oh, it isn't.
Well,
it's
probably
its own custom
put
connector.
A breakout cable then.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just like the Kinect on the new Xbox, where it's just like a reworked USB standard plug.
Yeah.
But it's just its own proprietary.
Just made proprietary.
Shape.
Yeah.
So they just release a breakout cable for it.
Yeah, I mean Microsoft hasn't yet for the Kinect, but yeah, I can see that happening. That's one way to do it.
At this point, I'm more interested in PSVR than even Oculus. That seems like if I had to make a choice, it'd be HTC or PSVR. Can we just go back to Morpheus? That's a better name, anyway. Yes.
I like it better. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's cooler.
It's cooler. Yeah, so, like, I don't know. Oculus did not impress me very much. Maybe that's just me. It kind of
like,
left me...
the saddest yeah. thing for me was that a lot of the launch software was just, like, Gear VR stuff. And I could get Gear VR now. Like,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Anyway, we'll move on then. To our final news story, and this is not... We're not going to talk about this long, because...
Do we really have to talk about this?
Do you want to?
A little bit.
It's this Overwatch victory pose for this character, Tracer, got cut because of complaints over sexualization. So, yeah...
Well, it was weird. The original complaint, like... I think they did mention their daughter or something weird about that, like how it wasn't an example at one point. But the main thrust of their argument seemed to be like, oh, it doesn't fit her character or whatever. And apparently that's what Blizzard agreed with. And they had already been working on like alternate win poses for the character anyway. And they said, like, we're not going to remove something solely because someone may take issue with it, like a direct quote from this guy at Blizzard. So I guess, yeah, whatever. I don't see what the big fucking deal is about it, basically. Like, I mean, the game isn't done. Yeah, somebody complained and somebody listened, I guess, and they changed it. And I think people are just pissed because, like, yeah, some people get listened to, and there are, like, people will listen to some people, and they won't listen to other people, and it does suck, and it's unfair, but life is fucking unfair. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That seems to be the core of the issue to me. Like, yeah, they happen to listen to this one person, and they may not listen to you, but that's the way the world works. Whatever.
I mean, I get it. Like, I get the argument that it's a little, I don't know, not a great pose, but it's like, I don't know, it's... this whole thing, this whole, like, new dimension of, like, conversation about this stuff is so, like, what's the word I've been looking for? It's so not good. So not, it's like, everybody
nuanced
like just starts yelling.
People are like, they have their opinion or their side or whatever, and they don't actually want to discuss things. They're like, I'm right, you should do this, and if you don't do this, you're a wrong idiot. Yeah, like, just calm down, people. Like, what the fuck?
It's just a pose, people, please.
It's just Overwatch.
Yeah, I don't really care. It came across the news feed, and I didn't really care, but I think we should comment on it, because it's people that are angry.
People get upset about a lot of things in video games lately, and it's kind of lame. Like, yeah, I can understand getting upset about stuff, but, like, wanting things removed from games, or fired, like, I don't know. I demand action, like that kind of, yep. Mm-hmm. Like, just chill, people. Like, why can't you just like spark a conversation about what you think, what this is, then like, this needs to go, or this needs to be like this. Like, just chill for a second. Why don't we just talk and think about these things and... Well, I know why we can't talk and think about these things.
Because
people can't, yeah. People can't fucking chill. It sucks.
You know
people
what else?
Have no chill.
You know what else?
Totally.
You know what else can't chill, though? You know what else can't chill? The what? Daily Cow! The Daily Cow for today is the Omega 47. It is a designation for a double-muscled bull used for insemination of older, broadly Whoa. Built cows that Whoa. Can help easily.
A ringer.
These bulls come from the crossbreed of Carlosis X Blonde de Enque and Marina Agua X Limosi.
Omega 47. That's such like a hitman style like code name. But he's like there. He's there to hit up the ladies. Like, yeah, that's weird.
But it was the Daily Cow for today. The Daily Cow.
That Daily Cow is like such an anime cow. Like, he's there as like a professional sniper to snipe old lady cows full of goo. It's fucked up.
God.
Great.
Oh, Jesus. If you click on this cow, he's fucking jacked.
Yeah,
Holy
yeah.
Shit.
He's a mean looking boy.
Fucking ripped.
God damn, France.
Holy
France,
fuck.
You're fucked up. What the fuck? You make these crazy, like, souped up games that are, like, amalgamations of everything, and then you make this fucking super cow that can, like...
I love his name, too.
Wow.
Omega 47.
This is,
Omega
yeah.
47.
This cow is basically the alpha and the omega. Holy
that,
shit.
That sounds like the whey protein that he, like, drinks every day.
Protein!
That's a cow. All right.
This is the cow. Holy crap.
The cow. All right, we're wrapping up.
The end all be all.
Let's wrap up. We got to go watch WrestleMania. We got to go watch
okay.
WrestleMania.
No.
It's already started.
We got to watch it.
I've been quiet because I've been watching it.
All right, let's wrap up.
I am
up.
Glad that they got rid of the fucking butterfly belt. What a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, seriously.
Yay! Fuck
it looks
you,
really
butterfly
cool.
belt.
It
die.
Doesn't mean the matches are going to get any better, though.
Like,
Maybe.
The ladies' belt
I,
looks
I can
better
have hope.
Than the main.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Alright, let's wrap it up. I've been your host today, Thowden. It's been Rams Over Baghdad. I don't know what episode it's been. It was the 3rd of April, 2016. Was this 50? Was this our 50th episode?
Maybe. I don't know.
Somebody go look.
If you, like, don't count the anime ones, which I guess we don't. It's a separate thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's number 50. Wow.
Number 50. We did it, folks. Halfway to
100. I like
100.
How we figured it out right at the end.
Woo! 50
That's,
episodes.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice
Omega
work, 50. Everybody. Congratulations, all of our guests. Thank you for being a part of this silly podcast we do each week. Thank you to
Thank
our founders.
Thank you for listening to it, anybody, or sending in emails.
Thanks to
all
our,
of that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks to our founders, Optics, and Pizza, and Bob, even though he's not here. Thanks for starting this thing up.
Thanks for letting me interrupt and join in. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. This has been Rob's We're Back, at episode 50.
Bam, 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 bam.
Butts.